Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of ICW's No Holds Barred Pit Fighter X3 from November 6th, 2020. I don't think I told you this. The name of the location is called The Bloodshed. I kind of like that for a cage fight.
Yeah.
Millville, New Jersey, USA. On commentary, it was Ron Neamey and The Struggles. And we actually had some difficulties with this. First of all, I don't know if we explained it in the last one. The reason we came about this was, as we were watching the previous one, we saw on Twitter Satu Jin, and we saw a clip of him in one of the matches, and we were like, whoa, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and then we saw it was on, come and watch this on IWTV, and I was like, all right, I think we got our next event. So that was kind of how we started on this one. We had some issues at the start. Like, we watched it, their opening sequence, like with the rocket going up and them landing on, it played that like three times in a row. Which wasn't particularly very helpful. Other things I noticed for this one, Chris LeWin was the referee. And the announcer, I didn't write his name down. I forgot to look it up. It's the same person who does the Masked Wrestler, though.
Oh, yeah, I don't know his name. So there's Billy Dixon, there's Chris Statlander, and then there's that guy.
No. The announcer, not the panelist.
Oh.
The guy
he
who
was
stands,
on there, too.
The guy who oh, he was?
The panelist, yeah.
I didn't see him anywhere. But the guy who does the ring announces each match.
Oh, legend. Somebody legend.
Okay, I can't remember what his name is, but yeah, he was certainly there. Now, our reviews for this, we picked three matches, because we don't have time to watch every single match. We picked the one that the main event, the match we most want to see after that, if it doesn't include the main event, and then a match that includes somebody we don't know. Just because we weren't sure on times for some of these, we actually watched the first match anyway, so this wasn't one of them. But if there's anything you want to add in, Mason, we can. The first match was Neil Diamond Cutter and Dale Patrick. Do you have anything for the first one?
Yeah. So Neil gets a mousetrap set on his tongue and his finger, a pile driver onto the shopping cart to Neil. Neil Staples, I forget his first, the second guy.
Dale,
I didn't get his name down.
Uh-huh.
Dale's butt and a power bomb him through the board for the win.
And we kind of love this. Now, I got totally different things for you, actually. I got the fact that, and I didn't really even appreciate it at the start, like the Neil Diamond Cutter, like the Diamond Cutter was Diamond Dallas Page's move. But the Neil Diamond part, he came out to Sweet Caroline. So I was like, great, I love that song. We can add that straight to the indie track. So that got added in there. Yeah, there was a board with mousetraps, but it didn't really work very well. But one on the tongue, oh my gosh. I even wrote down, you said, put your tongue back. I was like, I don't think he can. I think he's pulling his tongue out, but...
I feel like you should just keep your mouth shut. You should just bite. Bite him.
I don't know, but yeah.
I mean, if there's no rules, then I'm sure you should bite him.
Yeah, I don't know if there's rules for biting. I'm not sure how far that actually extends.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on those matches. But I think it was pretty clear, though, from this first match, we were like, oh, we made a great decision to actually watch this. And one thing I did notice straight after this one, though, the reason this event probably went on so long is they have to reset the cage after every match.
Yeah.
Because they totally break things up and they have to put new different weapons inside as well. Probably get some of the old stuff out because otherwise it would just be a total mess. And I think that's one of the reasons why they actually had interviews between each match as well. So it actually gave people a chance to kind of at least get things ready before they came in. So match two actually featured somebody who we didn't know, but we wanted to see this one because it was Satu Jin. Mm-hmm. So it was Casanova Valentine with Riley Madison versus Satu Jin. Now, we have talked about Riley Madison because she was on Nova Pro. So Casanova Valentine was the person we didn't know in this one. Now, before the start of this match, you saw a kid was in the background, and you used that as justification that you can go to one of these events.
Yeah, he was even younger than me. He was even younger than Jackson.
I don't know
he
if he
looked
would...
about four.
Yeah.
He looked like he was struggling to walk. Like not struggling, but when the babies first walk...
Yeah, I got you. Wobbling a little bit.
They twist their hips to walk even more, and he was doing that.
So I don't know who that kid was. I don't think he was there to watch the wrestling. He certainly wasn't looking at the ring at all, but I thought that was funny that you were like, well, if he's there, I'm going to the next one.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the rules are. I'm going to guess 18 or 21 possibly to go to those ones. Also, the other thing, you said that you think Satu Jin has lost about 100 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't know, because some of your predictions for things like this have been a little off, like somebody who shrunk 6 inches or somebody like that. I think I agree with you. I think he'd lost some weight. I'm not necessarily sure it was 100 pounds. I know there's been several wrestlers who actually used COVID to their own advantage. Like, they can't wrestle, but they were like, well, I'm going to use this time and I'm going to get into shape. The first name that comes to mind is Timmy Lou Retton. Like, he made a big effort to sort of get into extra shape. And I don't know. I haven't seen Satu...
Ethan Page.
Yeah. We haven't seen Satu Jin in probably a year and a half, I'm going to guess. Something like that. Might even be a little bit longer than that now. But we used to like him when we used to see him at Nova Pro. And that was kind of like, oh, Satu Jin. Like, we like Satu Jin. That was cool. That was cool to see him. So, because you asked, what the question you asked him was like, does he do death matches? And I was like, I have no idea. He's
perfect for it.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, he's got big size, like he's a physical force. You can imagine him as somebody being in that character. All right, Mason, I looked up his card. So this is what it says on Cage Match. Okay, I got his last 8 matches. So starting the earliest in the year. So in February, fans bring the weapons. Satu Jin defeats the, I think it's called the Conniption, AWR Crisis. Deathmatch, Alex Herzog versus Satu Jin at IWA Deep South Lethal. An Invitational Rumble at ICW. The AWR Tag Team Tournament First Round. He featured in that one. Pro Wrestling After Dark title four-way street fight. John Wayne Murdoch defeats Akira and Dalton Stiffwood and Satu Jin. A No Disqualification Fans Bring the Weapons match at Anna Fight Underground, which is in Anna, Illinois. A death match, Brad Cash defeats Satu Jin at TPW Halla Wicked. And then this match that we just talked about. So of those 8 matches, I guess he does death matches now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because he certainly didn't do that type of fighting when we saw him, but they didn't really do death matches at all.
I don't know if you remember it because it probably wasn't probably such a as a big event as you. Well, I don't remember who, but somebody did a suicide dive to Satu Jin. And so he bounced off Satu Jin, and Satu Jin, like, wobbled back onto me.
Oh, he did? Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Like, he was half on my leg.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. It didn't hurt. It was just scary.
Uh-huh. Well, you were front row at Nova. Yeah, you would have been young then. You probably might have only been 10 as well.
He was a big guy, but it was just more of the fact that he was on me.
Uh-huh.
But after he got off of me, I was like, oh, that doesn't hurt.
Nah. Not as hard as a PCO pushing on your back when he's trying to do a signature.
I mean, that was different, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
I was trying to balance.
Uh-huh.
But that was, I was sitting down. I had the chair to support me.
I'm trying to remember who I had. I had somebody who was right next to my feet. I might have actually been.
That was Billy Graham.
No, I wasn't thinking of that one. I had one when they were diving through the side. I actually think I have a picture of, like, PCO and possibly Nick Gage. I think I have a picture of them, and they're right by my feet. Or I want to think, I thought Arik was one of them as well. Like, did Arik fight PCO?
Yes, he did.
So that perhaps it was that match then. It was PCO then and Arik, and yeah, they were right next to me. Like, one was near my foot when he came in. I was like, oh, and I moved it back, and then they kind of... But yeah, no, it's kind of cool, actually. As long as you don't get seriously injured, then it's kind of... I like being involved in stuff like that.
Injured from that. I'm sure WWE keeps the barricades there so they don't get sued.
The closest one was when I took Jay to Crab Wrestling. And it was like his first one.
Oh, yeah, O'Shea.
And he was front row. And then O'Shea came flying out and he said, oh my gosh, I saw the little kid. He's like, I have never put on the brakes as quick as that. And he kind of stopped, like right in front of him.
I feel like he could have put his hands around him and used
he
the chair.
He probably could. But if you, I'm going to say, obviously in the moment, and you don't know as you're being thrown out, it's a force you're meant to, suddenly to realize there's a kid there. I was like, oh gosh, I got to stop quickly. But that was pretty, I thought that was pretty funny. I don't think Jay Reven kind of realized at the time how much, I don't want to say danger, but.
It wasn't much danger there.
No.
Because he could have easily just put his hands on something else to stop.
He could have put his hands on the chair and then the chair would have just gone back, but
he could have changed. I don't know how close it was because I wasn't there, but he might have.
Well,
been
you've
able...
been to Crab Wrestling. That front row's pretty close.
Oh yeah,
it's fair. I'm gonna say it's one of the closer
or
ones. You're right,
like,
in the action.
He could have like twisted sideways onto you, I guess. Uh-huh.
he could have done a lot of things, but I thought it was funny. You could see the look on his face afterwards. He was like, oh, I didn't realize that was going to... So that was kind of funny. All right, why don't you tell us about this match then?
I recognized Casanova Valentine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, so we thought... So it was just the name we didn't recognize.
Yeah, well, I saw him somewhere else, or we saw him somewhere else. I think it was the one that we saw on TV, but I don't remember which one. It wasn't the staycation, though.
It's been on TV because it says as I looked it up. It says as seen on Vice, so I think that's a TV show. He's listed as on Twitter as the king of the no ring death match.
Ah.
So I don't think I've ever seen one. I've seen like no ring matches, but I don't think I've ever seen a no ring death match. So that might be something that's interesting. I know you love your death matches right now. Brooklyn Black Death. Excuse me, the Hipster Heartthrob, and then Casa Valentine as seen on Vice. So I don't know.
So the first 5 minutes did not help with my theory that Satu Jin could be a deathmatch fighter because he was beating up Casanova Valentine, but the only thing that he took was a punch.
Now, the other thing at the start for this was, we said there was issues at the start of the match.
Oh,
there
was
issues for this one as well.
I totally forgot
like,
about
that. They skipped like the first start, like they were stood in the ring, and then suddenly they were already fighting.
It was...
And then there was also a part where they had some sort of move, and then it rewound 5 seconds, and then it played the same move again.
Yeah.
Now, I actually tagged IWTV in that and said, hey, are you aware there's a problem in this on the ICW recording? They never actually responded. Normally they're pretty good on things like that. Like I told them once before something was down and they're like, oh, okay, we'll look into it. And then they're like, you're right. And then like half an hour later, they're like, you should be good again now. So I know somebody mans that Twitter account. So I don't know. It might be an issue with the ICW record. Who knows? It might have been a problem as it was recording and it just kind of skipped or something. Or
they might have edited it.
There might be nothing they can do. It might be the edit. I don't know. I don't know quite how that process works. But
Satu Jin, he cheese grated Casanova Valentine and hit Casanova Valentine with barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
And he absolutely smacked the heck out of each other on the head with the cheese grater.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if you realize that's kind of a common item to have in those types of matches.
I didn't know that.
Because it's got all those little perforating. Yeah. Not that we really use a cheese grater.
I used to use it.
But yeah, you've seen one before.
I used to have to.
There's lots of little pits on there. And if you get them. It's the perfect item.
When mom got the big blocks of cheese, I like to shred the cheese. So she let me do that.
Yeah.
The door broke from Satu Jin just laying on it when Casanova, he still went on with it. He dove off of it onto him.
Yeah, he went round to the outside, climbed up to the top, and then still jumped on him. And I think you're right, because you said, I don't think that was supposed to happen. And I think you were right. I hadn't noticed, really.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, obviously, you lay him on the table, you jump on him, and then the table crashes. But yeah, I think you're right. I don't think that was supposed to happen, but they carried it on. And if you hadn't have said it, I don't think I would have even noticed it. So good job for him for improvising, even though it didn't quite work, just to carry on with the story.
Casanova Valentine won with a TKO by using a barbed wire wrapped boxing glove.
And I actually knew that part ahead of time. The thing that made me a little bit worried was, once I said we would do this, I then saw another tweet that someone said, I can't remember the exact tweet, but it was like, oh my gosh, that's one of the most violent matches I've ever seen with a barbed wire glove at the end. And I was like, oh my god, we're gonna make a big mistake for this one. I thought it was fine. I thought it was an enjoyable one.
It was Y7, because that kid was there.
I guess so. Now, these, and like I say, we're not going to review every match. So the third match was Daniel Garcia and Justin Kyle. The fourth match was Dan Maff and Nolan Edward. I actually thought perhaps, I think we've seen Nolan Edward recently. That name sounds really familiar, actually. I don't know. I wonder if he was actually at Paradigm. I don't know. That sounds really familiar to me. Match 5, the match you most wanted to see. This wasn't a surprise to me that you picked this one. Tony Deppen and Jeff Cannonball. We've seen Jeff Cannonball at a few places, actually.
Yeah, it was probably the third match that I wanted to see, but it was Slack and John Wayne Murdoch, which was the main event, and Satu Jin versus
Casanova
Valentine.
Yeah.
Those were the two matches that I wanted to see the most, but this was the one that wasn't.
And Tony Deppen, we've obviously seen now several times at, Infinite Pro, Synergy Pro Wrestling. And that's one of the names when he first came on. I was like, Tony Deppen's really good. I need to see more matches with him. And yeah, he continues to be impressed by this. Jeff Cannonball came out to Because the Night, which is a Bruce Springsteen song. But I think this was the Patti Smith version. So I can add that to the playlist as well. And Tony, who was already in the ring, actually came around, put his arm around Jeff, and they were actually singing the song together. I thought that was pretty funny. I have one thing for the match, which I'm... Actually, let you do the review, and then I'll talk about this if you don't mention it.
So Tony drinks Jeff's soda for a Jeff's soda review. And Tony jumps off the top of the cage, unprotected, half-door headshots by Tony Deppen, and Death Valley Driver into the ladder by Jeff, and Jeff wins with a slam through the door and a fire driver.
That was it? Oh, wow. I thought you were going to have more than
there
that.
Was another,
I got more of
this. There was another soda review. But it was Pepsi, Cherry Pepsi Sprite.
Uh-huh. Now, I actually knew about these because I actually saw one. I saw one for the mustard soda. And I've actually quoted that on the Good Cop, Bad Cop feed as well. Because I was like, oh, that sounds disgusting. Like, why would you do that? Now, you actually asked, has he ever had a bad review? So while you were watching this match, I actually was going through. Because they're really short. They're only like 10 seconds. So I did like a search for Jeff Cannonball plus soda review. And then they kind of all came up in the correct order. Sometimes he retweets them, though. So you had to scroll through a few. Here are some of the negative ones. Number 4, birthday cake soda. It's weird. Yeah, not too bad.
That sounds disgusting.
Number 12, Faygo cotton candy that somebody gave him. He said, I think it's expired. So he takes a little swig. He's like, ooh, that's expired. And it reminded me of the... Nobody's still ever explained this to this day. How about 5 years ago when we were at Grandma's house.
I remember.
And there was a can of Diet Pepsi there. And I was like, oh, that looks like one of the retro designs. It was like an old one. So I opened it up. Luckily, I was outside, took a swig. And oh my gosh, I spat that thing out. It was disgusting. And it was 15 years out of date. Because Grandma was like, well, I didn't put that in there. And your dad and Papa was like, well, I didn't do it. Nobody can explain
that's
how that was
in there.
That's why
Mom told me when I stayed up there with Jackson to always check the expiration date on stuff.
15 years for a soda. Like, I don't think that cotton candy was that one, but oh my gosh, that was awful. A cucumber soda, he said that tastes like window cleaner. That would probably be a negative one. The mustard soda, he said, oh, that is hatred. I saw the Pepsi pineapple one as well, because I saw that one. I was like, oh, I need to try that. And that was why I bought pineapple juice recently. Yeah. So I could mix those two together. I kind of like that one. There was one called dirt soda, which surely it doesn't contain actual dirt. I don't know. And as he drank that, he was like, oh, come on. So that wasn't a particularly good one as well. And then I left it at that point. I think there is more. I think it goes up to about 40-something. But...
I can't remember the last time I had worms in dirt.
Oh, it's probably been a while.
For people who don't know that is, it's like ground up Oreo cookies and they have gummy
and
worms.
And chocolate pudding.
Yes, and gummy worms.
We used to get that
at a Glory Days, but now they shut down.
Yeah, it's closed a couple of years ago, so yeah. We sometimes make it for birthdays.
Yeah, we get it at, Jackson, he had that as his last birthday cake. He had a worms and dirt birthday cake.
Yeah, we have it occasionally for like birthdays because we still like it.
Yeah, I think they make it at the store.
Well, it's easy just to make yourself. It's not that difficult to do, but it was always like a fun one. And then, I put the other thing in. After he did his soda review at the end, he threw his drink really high up into the air. So I was like, if this is a bottle and it lands on somebody's head, that would be bad. First of all, it's going to spill all the drink everywhere as well. But I kind of liked his nonchalance. He just threw it up into the air and left it.
What if he hit the little kid?
Oh, he was way, way away at that point. He must have been 50 feet away, I'm guessing. All right, the other matches were... Eric Ryan versus Reed Bentley, and we certainly recognize Reed Bentley as well. Atticus Cougar and Akira. That was one that was tempting. And then after that, as we were waiting for the main event, though, they had that Cheerful Wrestling show. I don't know if you remember. Now, it wasn't like an intermission, though.
It was like an ad.
Yeah. Those shows are only like 5-6 minutes or something. So I guess they put it in there so they could set up the event for the main event, because obviously they want to get everything in the ring for that one. Now, I love this show, and I'd seen it before, and I thought it was really cool. Wrestlers read nice tweets about themselves. It was a little bit awkward for me. I didn't say anything to you. I don't think you even possibly even noticed. One of the people they had who was reading the tweets out was Joey Ryan.
Yeah, I remember
who
that.
Right now is not particularly that popular, I would say, on wrestling circles. So it was kind of strange that they could have edited that out. It was also a little heartbreaking as well, because Kylie Rae was reading some of the tweets as well.
I remember that.
And I think the tweet for hers was, somebody said, I've never even seen her wrestle, but I already know that I love her, or something like that. And she was like, oh, that's so sweet, like just like Kylie Rae is. And then now knowing, of course, she's, I guess, retired from wrestling. And that was a little heartbreaking. So that whole Cheerful Wrestling show, normally it is cheerful, but it was kind of a bit of a sad side to it. I think the other thing as well that was the negative from this is it showed Chris Statlander doing dancing moves. And then, of course, now she's injured and you see her on the Masked Wrestler and she's got like a leg up and it's, I don't know if it's in a cast.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, I've seen her with a cast because she always has her foot up on like a stool or something.
Oh.
So, I don't know. It might be an ACL. I don't exactly know. But
what is your ACL?
Oh, gosh. You're asking the wrong person. All right, conveniently, match 8. This is the main event.
I thought you would know.
John Wayne Murdoch versus Schlack. We know Schlack. We've certainly seen him a few times.
Dad's leaving a bit out the story.
I looked up John Wayne Murdoch on Twitter. 26-year-old professional wrestler out of the great state of Tennessee, trained by Tony Falk, I think that is. Wrestled for IWA, NWA, and other opponents, Sabu, Davey Richards, and more. Mm-hmm. I saw an article about him from Eat Sleep Wrestle from 2016. So this was just over 4 years ago. This was kind of an interesting one. Just a few days after the great Daniel Bryan announced his retirement due to concussions, Murdoch announced his departure from the same business. It may not be retirement for Murdoch just yet, but it will at least be an extended absence. Like Brian, Murdoch is suffering from severe post-concussion symptoms. It scared him enough to go to the doctor, and the doctor's diagnosis convinced him he needs a break from the business he loves dearly. So obviously 4 years later, we know that Daniel Bryan did return, and obviously the fact that John Wayne Murdoch is in this main event means that he returned as well. But I like the parallels between them, that the fact that they both retired for a similar reason, and then the fact that they're actually both back. Now, I know you don't watch WWE anymore, so you're probably not aware.
I mean, I watched AEW today WWE.
Oh, okay.
But I'll leave out what I watched.
So
I watched the 10-second ad that came up.
Perhaps you are aware, then, that Daniel Bryan has announced he's retiring again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I'm not sure how many matches he's got left, but yeah. It wouldn't surprise, possibly, perhaps his last match will be at the next WrestleMania. I don't know, but he won't be wrestling for like 10 more years or anything
like
that.
I was forced to watch the AEW because it was an ad.
Oh,
and same with WWE.
So it wasn't actually anything that you...
It was AEW. Like real footage.
Well, I haven't watched AEW in a long time because their shows are starting to get really long. Like the AEW Dark Show now is like over 2 hours. Oh. Like that's for a second show. Like I'm not watching something that's 2 hours. I'm not even watching 2 hours of WWE, so I'm definitely... If I have time, I'm tending to watch independent events right now. Mm-hmm. So I'll still watch the highlights for like the top 10 moments, but I'm not watching anything more than that right now.
So how come you don't know where the ACL is, but you play soccer? A lot of people tear their ACL.
I know it's on your leg, but I don't exactly know where it is.
I knew that too. I thought it was like under your calf.
I can't remember what the A is. It's crucial ligament. So I'm going to guess, this will be really helpful for a podcast, but actually no, that's your hamstring. So I'm going to guess it's somewhere a little bit. I'm guessing it's on the lower leg. Oh, it is, but the ligament inside though. So I'm not sure. But I'm sure we'll get somebody who can tweet to us and tell us exactly where the ACL is. Or you can get your phone out as soon as this interview's finished and you can actually Google it.
I feel like this would be the perfect event to go to my first death match because there's a cage. How could anything happen when there's a cage?
Well, that's true. Like, in some of the other ones we've seen where they have... And I know you said you wanted to see the Ricky Shane Page and Matt Tremont retirement match. And I said that you can see that. Like, for that, it actually felt dangerous for the audience. Like, there's light tubes and they're near you. They're flying out around you. They're crashing through. But yeah, if you're on the outside of the cage, then yeah, I would agree. In terms of safety for the crowd, then yeah, I would agree. I actually, like I say, I know we're getting to the last match and we're kind of wrapping this one up. I really like that cage feature.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big fan particularly of MMA. I'm not particularly a big fan of like UFC or anything like that. But for a wrestling setting, I thought it made it kind of different.
Yeah.
The rest of the fans definitely get a good view. That's probably one of my criticisms, like the Hell in the Cell things.
Yeah.
Like when we went to see the Punjabi prison match,
you can see.
Like you can really see because there were so many different. Yeah, there's double layers, and it was, if you're a long way away, you can see. But for that, they were set up like on the outside, and they can see through easily.
Yeah.
So I liked it from a fan's point
that
of view
be
for sure.
Bad if the light tube hit somebody and injured somebody. That's a lawsuit.
I wonder about things like that. Not obviously, it didn't seem to happen.
I wonder
Ross.
If they have to say all injuries to a fan are not our
perhaps,
fault or something.
Perhaps ahead of time, fans at their own discretion or something
or
like that.
Yeah, like a sign.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I wonder if H2O is still going to keep going because Matt Tremont owns that company.
I assume so. I don't see any reason why not.
I think he must be retiring because he's getting too old. Is that?
I think he's retiring as a wrestler. I don't think he's retiring as a promoter. I think he's still going to keep that going. As far as I know, I certainly didn't hear anything to the contrary for that one.
Okay, so...
All right, why don't you tell us about this match, then?
I had one more quick thing.
Sure.
So, John Murdoch, well, after the cheerful wrestling and the tweets, there was a... John Murdoch was actually in a commercial for an Iron Man death match.
Oh, he was. That was actually for Cage Match X4, and that actually happened, as we're recording, last weekend. So that's actually come out already. I actually watched the first few matches for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were okay. But I think having just watched this so close together, I think it's probably better. These events were like a month apart. watching them 3 days apart,
yeah,
it was kind of like, I already saw like this. It's like the same. But I think a month apart, then, yeah, I'd like to mix up my wrestling a little bit. I think that would be better. I didn't get to the death match to be. I didn't get to the Iron Man match. But, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like an hour long. I don't know if it is an hour long or it could be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I think they can kind of depend. But I know that was one we talked about that we'd kind of like to watch at some point.
Yeah. The whole cage moves every time each of the wrestlers ram into each other. And there was a Russian leg sweep onto a chair. Schlack is holding the grater with his mouth. And John he arrived in Slack's head with a knife. I mean, he carved in Slack's head with a knife. And Slack's shooting fire at John, so he gets, like, a little lighter, and then he shoots, like, gas.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of when MLW was on.
Yeah.
Contra. I think they kind of did the same sort of thing with different people. So that was, like, one of their storylines for a long time. Like, I think it was the... I can't remember what the brother's name is right now. Oh, gosh. The really famous brothers.
The guys who are unlucky?
Yeah, the unlucky guys. They were all in WWE, and I can't remember.
They're Irish, right?
I don't know. They're from Texas. Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous. Anyway, but yeah.
Mick something.
No.
I thought it was Mick something.
I don't think so. All right. Anyway, keep going. We've got the reference, basically.
John then ate the... HOH come in and attack both of them, and someone comes on the mic and says they want Slack. And that was it.
It's the Von Erich brothers. I don't know.
Von Erich.
I just couldn't. I'm like, come on, you know this group. And I just could not remember. Marshall's one of them. And I can't remember actually which one actually had the thing in his eyes. But anyway, yeah. I don't think I have anything else for this
What
one.
Happened to his eye?
Well, he had the fire thing. That was the story, that it went in his eye, and that's why he had his eyes bandaged up.
I remember that.
Yeah. Now, actually, we're recording this one early, because you're actually going to be... you're going to head up to Ohio for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, normally, we'd also throw in the review for Masked Wrestler, but you're not actually going to be able to do that this time. So, when we come back to our next episode, we'll review the second semi-final, and we'll also review the final as well. And actually, as we're recording tonight, MLW is back on TV.
Oh.
So as that links in, I suddenly just realized, because that was like, they're on Wednesday now? Like, they moved around. They were like Friday at one point. Then they were Saturday. And I guess they're coming back on Wednesday. And I think the big match they promoted for this one is Myron Reed versus Brian Pillman Jr. That has my attention.
Yeah.
That I'm interested in seeing. Like, AEW Dark, I've missed quite a few of those, and I'm not too worried about it. And actually, I found for AEW, they have like a top five moments as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm quite happy just watching that to see the main bits. Or if I know Orange Cassidy has a big match, I'll tune in for that. But yeah, MLW was something we watched kind of regularly, actually.
Yeah.
Probably even more than WWE. So that might be something we'll get back into, depending on what that show looks like. All right, anything else for this one?
No.
All right, I'll do it.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye! Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/